I used to take school assemblies, I used to pretend to the children that I was one of Jesus' 12 disciples. Almost invariably, not always, but almost invariably, it was Peter. Because we know more about Peter than we do any of the other disciples. So much so that children would come up to me in the street and say, "Hello, Peter." And then I would say how Peter met with Jesus. And I would start always the same way, like one of those programs on the television that I've completely forgotten about, but it always starts the same way, and you think, for 5 minutes I've seen this one before, and then it branches into something else. Somebody will tell me afterwards which one that is. Oh, Polly's got it.
Bacchus.
So I would start off how Peter met Jesus. So if the children don't know how Peter met Jesus, well, they haven't been listening. Then I would launch into one of the stories in which Peter figured. And I've told the story that we have just read many times in school centres. And in this story, it's very easy to condemn Peter for his lack of faith. Yes, it's true at the end, Jesus does call Peter a man of little faith. But please remember, there were other disciples in the boat. What about them? Well, one of them got out of the boat. I think if Peter had little faith, then they had none. So, when it comes to trusting Jesus, what stops us getting out of the boat? What keeps us from daring to trust Jesus? Why are we afraid to leave the security of the boat? Why did Peter have the faith to get out and walk on the water to Jesus? Let's look at the story. When the disciples first see Jesus coming towards them, they mistake him for a ghost. They spent the whole night afraid that the storm would overcome them. And now they see someone or something walking on the water. Instead of recognizing their friend and master, they think that it's a ghost. And the text tells us that they were terrified. Wouldn't you be as well? Frightened out of their wits. But then Jesus speaks, and Peter recognizes him. I wonder, when Jesus speaks to us, do we recognize his voice? Are we so familiar with Jesus that we distinguish his tones? Amid the storms of life, when things are going really bad for us, can we hear the voice of the Saviour? Or are our cares and worries louder, drowning out the person to whom we should be listening? Do our fears and concerns seem greater than they really are? And this begs the question, how do we handle our fears? And the answer is, we must know Jesus. Not just know about him, but know him as our friend, our master, our guide, and our good shepherd. We must become so familiar with Jesus that when the storms of life come, we will recognize him and his voice. We must get to know Jesus in the deepest, most personal sense. And it's only through a personal relationship with Jesus that we will be able to recognize him. Note in the story that the disciples mistake Jesus for a ghost when he comes to the walking on the water. It's only when Peter is sure it's Jesus that walking on the water does he even think about getting out of the boat. When we have Jesus in our lives, when we have a close relationship with him, then we can attempt the seemingly impossible. So for a little while, Peter walks on the water. Peter is doing the seemingly impossible. But then things change. Peter took his eyes off Jesus and realized that he was risking everything to obey Jesus. We can imagine the storm, thunder, lightning, and the waves buffeting the boat. Quite understandably, Peter is afraid. Maybe that's an understatement. Peter is petrified. In fact, notice a little play on that one. That's working out whether you were aware. Just a few moments ago, Peter was in the boat. Perhaps a little scared because of the storm. But now it's raging around him. Perhaps he'd forgotten, or maybe he'd never realised, that to be with Jesus is to be in the safest place. The Apostle John, another fisherman, who was also in the boat, was later to write, "The one who is in you is greater than he that is in the world." But it's all too easy to lose sight of Jesus and to focus on our problems. And then the scene changes. Peter cries out to Jesus, "Save me, Lord!" And Jesus reaches out, grabs hold of Peter, and they both get in the boat. The wind dies down, and the disciples worship Jesus. That's quite interesting. If we turn back a few chapters in the Gospel, we find another event involving Jesus, a boat, and a storm. In that story, instead of walking on the water, Jesus is asleep in the boat. A fierce storm breaks out, and even these hardened fishermen are afraid that they might be nearing their end. They wake Jesus. Jesus speaks to the winds and the waves, and the storm comes. In the earlier account, the disciples look at one another and say, "What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him." Now, a few chapters on, maybe just a few months later, they are able to proclaim that Jesus is the Son of God. Something about the whole experience has opened their eyes to the power and ability of Jesus. Before this encounter, Jesus was just an amazing man. But now the disciples see him as the Messiah, the Son of God. What's the difference? They've got to know Jesus. They have listened to him. They've spent time with him. And they not only now know about Jesus, they know him. Now, most of us can say that we know quite a bit about Prince Charles. We've read about him. We've seen him, if only it is on television. But not many of us can say we know Prince Charles. To know him means to spend time with him, to get to know his character, his likes and dislikes, to talk with him. And sadly, there are many people today who only know about Jesus. They might see him as a good man, a good teacher, and even a great healer. But many people don't go further than that. It's interesting when we do healing on the streets on a Saturday, that people will come up to us and talk. Some know Jesus. Others know about Jesus. Sadly, some don't know about Jesus at all. But you see the difference. Some know Jesus. Some know about Jesus. So how can we see Jesus for who he really is? How can we move from seeing Jesus as just a great man to the only one who can change our lives? And the answer is simple. We need to spend time with him. To know Jesus, we must spend time with Jesus. And so the question for this morning is this. When the storms of life come, as indeed they will, How long will you wait before you call on Jesus? Quite often we try to think our own way out of life's problems. Maybe we ask other people whether they have the answers. Perhaps we need to learn to lean less on our skills, our intellect, our money, our position. Maybe we need to stop using Jesus as the last resort and put him as the first resort. But we might be asking the question, well, what if Jesus doesn't come? And in reality, Jesus may not come when we want, do exactly what we want, or follow our every direction. But the truth of the gospel is this, that Jesus really cares. Jesus is all-powerful, and he will help. Those who have been to Israel will be familiar with the little plaques that have been placed at various sites in the Holy Land, inscribed with words by Mother Basilia Shrink. They are designed to make us stop and think. One of them, on a plaque on a church facing the Sea of Galilee, reads this: "The deeds and miracles of Jesus are not actions of the past. Jesus is waiting for those who are still prepared to take risks at his word because they trust his power utterly." The deeds and miracles of Jesus are not actions of the past. Jesus is waiting for those who are still prepared to take risks at his word because they trust his power utterly. It's on the pew sheet if you want to keep it. It's interesting that the storm does not calm down until Jesus gets into the boat. The whole experience with Peter walking on the water happened with the storm at his peak. And sometimes, perhaps quite often, Jesus does not remove the problems of life, but he is there and always willing to be there with you. So the psalmist wrote, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are there with me." That's where trust and faith come in. Our life is built on Jesus and him alone, not Jesus and something else. When we realise that all we need is Jesus, we will trust him. Let me remind you of the hymn that we started with this morning. "In Christ alone my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand till he returns and calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I stand." It will not matter if the storms rage or the lightnings flash. All that will matter to us is that we have Jesus. No doubts in his ability, no questions about whether this is the right course for our life. One person wrote this: "It is impossible to come into the presence of Jesus and leave the same way you came." That's what happened to the disciples. They have come into the presence of Jesus, and just Jesus. I wonder, are there some fears that cause us to be disillusioned and keep us from risking everything for Jesus? Maybe we have allowed those fears to become greater than they really are. Maybe problems seem so huge that we are unable to connect with the source of our power. And I say this morning, with all the authority of Scripture, that whatever it is, Jesus is waiting for us to believe in him, to risk it all. Jesus says, "Come on, leave the boat, walk on the water." Jesus says, "You can do it."